a few things before we get started. I just wanted to let you know and make you aware of our presence theme for our quarter. We are reading through the book of Psalms together. Has anybody been reading with us? Raise your hand nice and high. Awesome. Listen, it is so, so good. I love being able to just like, there's something about knowing that like everybody that you're connected with is right there with you spiritually. You know, like me and my wife read together, like Riley reads with us. She doesn't understand anything, but like it's a great thing, you know, to bring the family together and do something like this. So just to let you all know, in our weeklies, the new reading plan for November is listed in here. So we had up to October, November is in here. So if you want to grab this, take it home, put it on your fridge, you will never miss a day. And then also our one night is tonight for all of our students. If you are a student here and you're within the grades of 7th to 12th grade, or you know somebody in that age range, we want to invite them out tonight. You can get one of these cards. The ushers have them in the back. But basically, we are throwing a homecoming celebration party right here in Wycliffe at 5 o'clock tonight. We're going to have professional photographers come out and take pictures. You know, all the students are going to dress up really nice. We're going to have food for them here. We're going to have a professional DJ, a godly DJ who's just going to be here and just like, we're just going to have a party. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so much fun. So bring your student out tonight at 5 o'clock right here. It's going to be great. If you know anybody, you know, get them out here. That'd be awesome. All right, so are we ready to receive our tithe and offering this morning? Amen. Amen. Are we ready to receive our tithe and offering this morning? Listen, I don't know about you, but I just like, if we're going to give our tithe and offering, we got to be happy about it at least. Like, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And when I give, like to be honest with you guys, I give over our PushPay app. Does anybody use that app, PushPay? It's so awesome because two nights ago, I was laying in bed and I was like, hey, just got paid, let me give my tithe and offering. At like 11:30, laying in bed, boom, tithe right there. It's so awesome, right? But it's just so great that like we have the opportunity to give to the Lord. And was anybody at the summit last Sunday? The summit? Raise your hand if you're at the summit. How was it? It was amazing, right? So powerful. But your giving enables us to do things like that, where we can come in and meet and gather and just have an incredible time with the Lord. You know, the moment with the Lord that we had this morning, like your giving allows us to do that. And so we're just so thankful for you all, right, today in Wycliffe. And why don't we just give a hand for all of us in here? Why don't you give yourself a round of applause? We're so thankful for you. So if you're making a check, you can make it out to CNC. You can give via PushPay. The envelopes are right in front of you. Let's pray for it as you get ready. If you have it ready, why don't you hold it up? Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us, God, to work and make money. And we just thank you for the opportunity that we get to come into this house together on a Sunday morning and experience your presence in a way that we did this morning, Father God. We're so thankful. And so we give our tithe and our offering so that you can further your kingdom in this earth, Father God, that you can continue to touch and change lives through this ministry, God. We thank you. I pray that you would bless every single person in here. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, you can receive that. Okay, I think I'm done with all of that stuff. Don't worry, I know we went long in worship, but I will not go long. This is going to be a quick, good message. I'm really excited about this. Can you all do me a favor and say it's good? Now, yes, I heard it back there. See, my wife made an apple pie a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I don't really like apple pie because all the apple pie I've had, like, the apples are really chunky, and they kind of get soggy. You kind of know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Kind of get this, like, you're eating, like, soggy apple soup. It's kind of weird sometimes. But, so, Emily, she cut the apple slices super thin. So they're, like, real thin, real crisp. And I'm telling you guys, this was the best apple pie I've ever had in my life. It was so good. And as I ate the apple pie, Emily was like, well, how is it? What do you think? And I didn't say, it's good. I said, it's good. Right? So let's try that again. And I want you to say it like you just had some incredible apple pie, right? Like, and you're describing how it tastes. So say it with me. It's good.
It's good.
It's good, right? There's like, it changes you. There's the apple pie made me a different person, right? It's amazing stuff. But that's the title of my message today. It's good. And we're going to talk about the goodness of God. Come on, who gets excited when they think about the goodness of the Lord? Ah, so awesome. Okay, so if you could with me, please turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to go to verses 44 through 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44. We start off, and Jesus is telling some stories, telling a parable. And in 44, we see Jesus teaching, and he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Verse 45 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." That's so amazing. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're good in our life every single day, God. When we see it, when we don't see it, God, when how you orchestrate every single specific detail of our life, you're just so good to us, God. And so we just thank you for that this morning. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and bring the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can leave here forever changed, God. In your name I pray. Everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Whew, man, that was good, right? That worship time? Like that's church. Let's just go home, right? Man, love it. So, just kidding. You guys have to stay here and listen to me. So, just kidding. You don't have to. But when I was in Bible college, I met one of my best friends. His name is Marcel. And I might have told a story about him before, but he is one of my best friends in the whole world. Like, this guy was so cool. But I met him. We were in the gym on the first day of school, right? Like, I just get out of high school, just get done playing basketball, so I was still in, like, basketball mode. Go to the gym, and I'm just shooting around by myself because I don't know anyone there. And then Marcel walks in. Never met him before. You know, we meet each other. We're just shooting around. If any guys have ever, like, played basketball with a stranger, you kind of know, like, the weird kind of relationship that you have. Like, your friend's on the court, and then once you get off, you're just like, all right, stranger, don't talk to me. Like, it's kind of weird. So we had one of those, like, relationships where, you know, we're just hanging out, shooting hoops, and then these two guys came in, and you can tell they were, like, seniors at this school. They've been there for a while, and they were just super cocky, like, super cocky. And for me, like, I take people's cockiness as a challenge immediately. Like, you don't even have to say anything to me. Like, if you walk into, like, a basketball court and you're cocky, like, okay, let's play. Let's play one-on-one. You know, like, it's just a challenge right away. And so these guys come on the court, and they're like, hey, do you guys want to play us? And I was like, absolutely, I'd love to. And me and Marcel destroyed these two guys. Like, destroyed them. I don't think they scored a point. We scored, like, 11 straight. Like, it was just ridiculous, right? And so from that day on, we were, like, best friends. Like, we would go to the gym every single day together and just beat everyone at the gym. Like, he was the shooter. Like, he could not miss. I'm telling you, like, Steph Curry times three. He would just throw up anything, and it would go in. And I was, like, the run, like, crazy guy and just, like, get the ball in the basket somehow. But we made a good team. But Marcel, he was, like, here's the deal with me and Marcel. Neither of us had jobs when we were our first year through college. We were poor college students. Has anybody ever been a poor college student before? Lord knows, right? Lord knows. So we were poor college students, but Marcel, his parents, like, would always put money into his bank account, and my mom did too, just not that much. So, you know, I didn't really have that much money to do stuff. So Marcel would always have, like, all this money, and being a poor college student eating really nasty cafeteria food, we spent the majority of Marcel's money going out to eat, right? Going out to eat, hanging out with friends. And every single time we would go out to eat, I'm telling you, like, I'm not exaggerating, for a year, every single time we went out to eat, Marcel paid for me. Like, it was kind of weird. I'm like, do you have a crush on me? Like, what is this? But he would pay for my food every single time, right? We would go out to eat, or he'd be like, hey, Dom, let's go. Like, we're going to dinner with our friends. I'm like, bro, I have, like, $3 in my account. Like, I cannot go to dinner, right? And he's like, I got you, bro. I'm like, okay, cool. And it got to the point where, like, I didn't even ask him anymore. I just kind of figured he had me, right? Like, he's like, hey, you coming to dinner? I'm like, yep, He's like, you're paying for me, right? And he's like, yeah, I got you. I'm like, okay, cool. So like a year goes by of this. And I'm telling you, we would sit at restaurants and the waitress would come up and she was like, you know, splitting the checks. She's like, so who's on who? And I'm like, me and him are together, right? I would answer for him. He's going to pay for me right here. He's got me. And she would like kind of look at us weird, like, you're together, whatever. And so Marcel, I joke around with him. He was my sugar daddy for my first year of Bible college. He was my sugar daddy, and he basically, I'm telling you guys, I probably owe him, no joke, over $1,000 worth of food alone, like just food. We went out so much, but he paid for me every single time, and it was so incredible. I remember this one time, this is the last story I'll tell. This one time, I was buying a car, and in order to drive the car off the lot, you have to have car insurance. I didn't know that, so I was just like, can you just give me the car? And they're like, no, I can't give it to you. And so I went online and tried to buy, you know, car insurance real quick, and it was going to be a couple $100s. And I had the cash, I just didn't have it in my account. So I was like, Marcel, could you pay for my car insurance, and I'll give you the money? And he said no. So that was the one time he ever said no to me. But other than that, he was a great sugar daddy. He bought me everything that I needed. But today, I want to talk to you guys about someone who is much, much greater than Marcel Monroe. Someone who paid the price for everything that you'd ever need in your life. Someone who died on the cross so that you can have the healing that your body needs, so that you can have the hope that your soul needs, so that you can have whatever it is that you need in your life. Talk to you about someone who paid the ultimate price for you and I, who hung on a cross and who paid the price for our sin, the debt that we could never pay back. See, I could scrape together a couple $100s to pay Marcel back, but I'll never be able to work my way to pay Jesus back for what he did for me. I'll never be able to thank him enough for what he's done for my life. He's been so good to me. It's good. It's good, right? He's been so amazing. We owe a debt to him that you and I would never, ever be able to pay. He defeated sickness. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He created a way for us. And for that, we are in a relationship with him. And I would like us to go to Matthew chapter 11 really quick. Matthew chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. And in Matthew chapter 11, basically what we find is John the Baptist, he sends some people to Jesus, and he's like, hey, you know, I know I baptized you, I know I had that cool experience with you earlier, but are you really who you say you are? Like, are you the Son of God? Are you the one? And John was kind of struggling with some doubt, and so he just needed some confirmation. But Jesus answers him, and in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 11, we see that Jesus says to the messenger, says, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. See, John questions Jesus, and he says, is this, who really are you? Is this really who you are? Are you really the Son of God? And Jesus responds by saying this, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor get the good news preached to them. He confirms who he is by what he's done. He confirms who he is by the things that he has done. Jesus walked this earth and brought the kingdom of heaven to us by raising the dead, by healing the sick, by meeting people's needs. Here, I want to bring a point to you all today. Do you think that when Jesus fed the 5,000, that those 5,000 people never were hungry again? Guess what? They were hungry in 3 hours, right? On their way home, they were like, man, where's Jesus at? I need some more food. Do you think people that were healed by Jesus never got sick again? You know, they probably didn't deal with the same thing, but they probably got the flu or something, right? Jesus came and he met people's needs, not because it was going to just, you know, completely take away their need for food, but he was showing his compassion and love for us and meeting our immediate need. He came to bring the kingdom of God to us. And listen, there are far too many Christians living in defeat. There are far too many Christians leaving things on the table that Jesus promised you and I. Jesus said that, listen, I am who I said I am because the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them. But you and I often leave those things on the table, and we decide to just go through life just, you know, dealing with these things. And we decide to go through life just managing our sin, managing our sickness, managing the disease, managing our depression, managing all the stress that is in our life. And we leave the promises of God on the table that he spoke over our life, that he's made available for you and I. See, Jesus didn't come to bring bad news. He didn't come to just bring news in general. He didn't come to say, you know what, you're going to live your life, you know, with this sickness, with this disease, with this depression, with this insecurity. You're just going to have to live your life, but guess what? I'll give you strength to get through it. No. He came to bring us the kingdom of God, to bring us healing, to bring us hope, to bring us peace, to bring us joy, to bring us the things in our life that we need the most. He came to bring that to us. But so many Christians walk away and leave it on the table. Why? Because we get so consumed with our average Christianity, with our mundane Christianity, with our, I'll wake up and read two verses of the Bible and then head off to work and pray my two-minute prayer. And we get caught up in this really watered-down Christianity when Jesus has so much more to offer us. He brought the good news. The good news is that you don't have to live with that sickness. The good news is that you don't have to go through life with depression. The good news is that he has come to set you free from every sin and bondage that you've ever experienced. It's the good news of Jesus. See, I don't think I want to be a part of a religion that doesn't offer that good news. If you're going to say, you know, this guy came and died on the cross for your sins, but you're going to have to live life, you know, with this stuff that you're carrying, I don't know if I want that. But that's not what Jesus did for us. He came and died on the cross and gave us the good news that he has set us free from every sickness, every disease, every pain. See, when the Son sets you free, you're sort of free sometimes. When the Son sets you free, depending on how work goes that day, you'll be free. When the Son sets you free, however, you know, your family life is at the moment, you'll be free. But too many people allow outside circumstances to determine their level of freedom. They allow the outside circumstances to determine if you're going to walk in freedom or not. But that's just mind-blowing, because if you have Jesus in your life and he has set you free, you can't allow those things to bind you up. Because the truth is that the devil just doesn't come on you and wrap you up. You allow him the opportunity with your attitude, with your thoughts, with what you do with your time and how you spend your time. You allow him to bring that bondage in your life. But really, the good news is that you're free. The good news is that he has set you free from that, and you and I have to walk in that. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. You guys know the rest of it. And by his stripes, we might be healed. By his stripes, if we pray enough, we'll be healed. By his stripes, if we read our Bible every single day, we'll be healed. It's not what it says. It says that because Jesus took the stripes he took on his back, we are healed. We are free. We live in peace, in wholeness, in happiness, in joy. But we allow ourselves for that to be stripped from us. You are healed in the name of Jesus. I love how Isaiah prophesied this years before Jesus even stepped on the scene. That he didn't put a future tense on this. He didn't say, you will be healed once Jesus comes. He said, you are healed because of the stripes that he was going to take in the future. I believe that Isaiah was able to claim that healing for himself because he believed in the stripes that would happen one day. And I believe that the Bible is filled with people who took a hold of the promise of God that wasn't even fulfilled or manifested in that time. But because they believed on a man who would come, they were able to reap the benefits of him. You look at the life of David, a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, the Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. How could a man walk in the Holy Spirit when it wasn't even given to him yet? It's because he realized something that no one else in that day realized. He realized that if he got close to the heart of God and he pursued the heart of God, that he can live and walk in a place that no one else walked in. The fact that David was filled with the Holy Spirit, it blows my mind. He had access to something that wasn't available yet. But now we have it available to us, and a lot of us don't have access to it. We have all of this available to us, but a lot of us don't take advantage of the access that we have. That you can live life filled with the Holy Spirit. You can. It's for every believer, every Christian. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go through life wandering and confused. The Bible says that when you and I pray in tongues, it unlocks mysteries in heaven. And so that when we speak in our heavenly language, we'll go through life, you'll make decisions, and you'll say things that you don't even know, that didn't come from your mind. But the Holy Spirit is unlocking things in your heart to benefit you, to help you make decisions. And that is such an incredible thing, because I am really dumb a lot of times. I'm really dumb when it comes to making decisions, making the right decision, right? Often, many of us, whether we like to admit it or not, we're not that smart. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need the Holy Spirit to influence us, to be a part of our life. It's access that we just have. It's just here waiting for us. The Holy Spirit is here just waiting for us. See, the good news is that there is more. The good news of the gospel is that there's more available to you. The good news is that Jesus brought and unlocked every good gift that you could ever think of in your life. And it's available for you today. That's the good news, that salvation is available for you today. That you don't have to die and go to hell, that you can live and walk in your purpose and be with Jesus for eternity. That's the good news. The good news is that you don't have to walk through your life feeling stressed out and anxious, but you can have peace. That's the good news. The good news is that you don't have to walk through life sick and depressed and hurting. The good news is that healing is available to you today. That's the good news. It's good. Say it's good with me. It's good. It's good. We live and we are a part of an incredible, incredible relationship with Jesus. It's a good one. It's a good one that we get to be a part of. The good news is that there's more because he bought it for us. He paid it the price for us. Just like Marcel always paid for my chicken fried chicken. Jesus paid for it. He bought it. He has the receipt in his hand. Just get it. Order it. Order your chicken fried chicken. Like, do it. There's more available. Like, I kind of feel bad because you know how, like, when someone else is paying for you, you try not to order, like, you know, everything on the menu. You kind of be respectful, like, I get the, you know, the small, whatever, lunch. You know, at first, that I did that with Marcel, but then it got to a point where I was like, you know what, let me have the 24-ounce ribeye and, you know, this and that. And there just wasn't any, like, there wasn't any reservation in me anymore. It was just like, I want it all, right? And listen, there's some Christians that need to have that attitude with Jesus, that need to place a demand on Jesus and said, look, Jesus, you have the money in your bank account, you have the funds, and I want it all. You paid for it. I want access to the healing. I want access to the deliverance. I want access to the freedom. I want it all, Jesus. We have too many Christians being way too conservative. He has it. Just get it. We have to come to him and put a demand on heaven and say, I want it, Jesus. I want to walk in the Holy Spirit. I want to create history with God. I want to create my own history with God. You know, you hear so many people talking about the amazing things that happen with them in the Holy Spirit. How, oh, you know, you hear people saying, oh, I went to the supermarket the other day and the Holy Spirit told me to pray for this person. I did. They got healed and it was amazing. They gave their heart to Jesus. You know, you hear so many stories like that, right? I want to create that history with God in my own life. I want that to be my history, to be my story. And that's available to me just like it's available to you. Go home today and create history with God. Everywhere you go, create a story. Create something. Because the Holy Spirit is there and He wants to work through you. Allow Him. And then come in here on Sunday and say, man, I went to my daughter's school's recital and I just shared the gospel with this teacher and she got saved, gave her heart to Jesus, whatever. Like, create your own story. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that in your life. The good news is that there is more for you and I. Oh man, I told you I was going to go long. Okay, Matthew 27. Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 50 through 54. We see Jesus taking in his last moments on the cross. And in Matthew 27, 50, it says that Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and He yielded up His spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and saw the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When Jesus died on the cross, like, I wish, when I get to heaven, I want to see this played out. The Bible says that the veil that separated average people like you and me from the presence of God was split in half. Now, this wasn't your curtains that you have hanging at home. This veil, they say, was about 3 feet thick. It was huge. And God just reached down and tore it like a piece of paper. And when Jesus offered up His spirit and became the sacrifice for our sin, God immediately ripped it and said, I want my people to experience me face to face. I want them to be able to have access to my presence. I want them to come into the holy place and be with me. He wasn't content with a religion where people offered sacrifices and burnt incense and all this stuff. He wanted a personal relationship with you and me. And He was so eager to have it that He ripped that thing in half immediately as soon as He could. Now, to give you some perspective, the priest would wear bells around their ankles because when they would go into the Holy of Holies, oftentimes they wouldn't come out because they would die because they had sin in their life. And if they walked in with sin in their heart and in their life, they were killed immediately because they didn't handle the presence of God right. And so they had bells around their ankles and they had a rope tied around their waist so that if the people heard the bells stop jingling, they knew that that person was killed. Died, and so they would drag them out of there by the rope because the presence of God was so revered and so strong that is the presence that we have access to without having fear that we're going to get struck dead because of our sin, because if that was the case, I would have died a long time ago. But you and I can walk into that knowing that the blood of Jesus took away all of our unrighteousness, took away all of our sin, took away everything in our heart that would separate us from God, so that we have access to that presence of God. We have access to the most holy place. We stepped into it this morning. We held on to it. We grabbed hold of it this morning, and we experienced the Holy of Holies. And as I was saying this morning and during communion, that too often Christians kind of get familiar with that presence. But I just want to remind you this morning that that was the presence that the children of Israel had to be so careful with. It's the presence that you and I get to step into in our living room, in our bathroom, at work, in our car. It's that same presence that we get to step into in a moment and say, Jesus. And it's there, He's here. That's what we have access to. That's good news. It's good news that I don't have to leave here and kill a dove because I sinned. It's good news that I don't have to make sacrifices for my mistakes, that I know that he's already cleansed me of my sin, that he's forgiven me. He's taken my sin and separated it as far as from that the east is from the west. And it's good news. See, Jesus loves us too much to leave us in our mess. He gave his life to take us from where we were to where he created us to be. The best news is this. By paying the price for our sin, he gave us unlimited access to the presence of God. That's the best news. That is the best news you'll ever receive, that because of what Jesus did, you have unlimited access to the most valuable thing ever, the presence of God. That you and I get to step into that. That's so amazing. It's the best news. And too many Christians allow sin to have power in their life by believing it can separate you from God. We allow our sin to convince us that we're not worthy, and we allow it to have power in our life because it doesn't. Romans 8:38, Paul says that I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Sin only has as much power in your life as you give it. Sin will only have as much power in your life as you give it. If you constantly wake up remembering your sin, dwelling on your sin, disqualifying yourself for your sin, guess what? You will be disqualified, but not because Jesus disqualified, because you disqualified you. Sin will only have as much power in our life as we allow it to have. And there's too many Christians going through life carrying all of their sin, all of their guilt, all of their shame, and they just bring it with them and say, Jesus, I have this with me. And he's saying, I forgot about that. Why did you bring that? I threw that away. Why'd you go back and pick that up? He's forgiven us of those things, and so we need to let it be. You and I must live in his righteousness. And I'll end with this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you have that. It says that he had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You're the righteousness of God. When Jesus died on that cross, he took our sin upon him. But in that moment, he didn't just take our sin. He took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. And he said, look, I lived 33 years on this earth. I didn't sin once. I lived a perfect life. I want you to have that righteousness. Claim that as your own. And he gave us his righteousness. And now when the Father looks at us, he sees us through the lens of the blood of Jesus, and he sees someone who's perfect. He sees someone who's walking in the righteousness of Jesus. Walking in the righteousness of Jesus. We read about the life of Jesus in this book, and that is your story and my story now. At least that's how God sees it. He sees us righteous just as Jesus is righteous. So live in that today. Walk in that today. Don't allow sin to have power in your life. So if you could please stand with me. I'd like all of our altar ministers to come forward as I close. Did it. Our altar ministers, if you can come forward. Church, the good news is that you don't have to live your life in depression. The good news is that you don't have to live broken, sick, hurting, with everything, all the mess in your life. You don't have to live with that. That's the good news, that Jesus came to give you access to more. He came to give you access to more, to access to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to invite you today, if you're here and you're saying, you know what, I'm tired of living with this. I'm tired of living with this depression. I'm tired of living with this sickness. I'm tired of living with this anxiety, this whatever it is for you. I want to invite you to come forward. And I want our altar ministers to pray with you, because I believe that there's more for you here today. You know, I'm raising my expectation level this morning, and I believe all of us are, but I believe that there's more for you this morning. And if you're here, you know, the good news is that you don't have to go through life alone. The good news is that Jesus loves you. That's the best news. And if you don't have a relationship with him, you don't know him, you've never experienced his love, the good news is that you can come today and experience it. That today, right now, because that veil was torn in two, that you can experience the presence of God like that. That's the good news. So if you bow your head with me, please. Jesus, you're so amazing. We thank you, God, for coming down and living the life that you lived, Father, for dying on the cross and giving us the righteousness of Jesus. We thank you for that. And God, I ask that you would allow us to take a hold and take advantage of the access to more that you've laid out in front of us, God. That we don't have to live through life sick and depressed and miserable, Father God. That we don't have to live through life trying to manage our own sin and manage the things that are wrong, God. That we can have access to the more, to Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for that. Jesus, I pray that you would give that to us today. We put a demand on heaven, Jesus, and we say that we want what you paid for. We want it, God. We want all of it. We want the fullness of it, God. We want more of you. In your name I pray. And so what I'd like for us to do, if you're here today and you say, you know what, I need more. I want access to that. I want to invite you to come up to the front and pray with one of our altar ministers and receive from the Lord. And if you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, or maybe you need to recommit your heart to him, listen, it's not. Look, a lot of times church is made out to seem like it's miserable, like it's not fun, like it's a chore and a duty. But if you have a real relationship with the Lord, it's going to be the best thing that you ever experience in your life. And so I don't want to invite you to become a part of a religion or a part of a church. I want to invite you to have a real relationship with Jesus. So if you need any prayer at all, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. And don't forget to live right, love everyone, and pray really hard. All of my students, I'll meet you back here at 5 o'clock. See you all next time. We love you very much.
I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will